Hollywood is rated LGBT radio, starring your host, Rob Watson!
She's just there. Okay.
Yeah,
I still have it.
Hello?
Hello, yeah, Holly from HOU is here. I'm just hearing a buzzing noise.
Yeah, me too, Holly. This is Karen Oakham. I'm one of the reporters on this, but I don't know what the issue is. Rob is at the in the control room, so.
Noah, are you on?
I sure hope this isn't recording. We're going out on air. Hello, hello.
Okay, Karen, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Okay, let me get the other two back on the board because apparently whatever was causing the feedback has been eliminated. So give me a second. I'm going to put the show on hold, and I'm going to message the other two and let them know to call back in. So give me a second, all right?
Okay.
Okay, I just told our two guests to call back in, so I guess give them a few minutes. I don't know whether or not Rob can hear us, but Karen, you can hear me, correct?
I can.
Okay, well, our listeners, sorry about that, guys, but we've had some sort of technical difficulty, and I imagine that the heavy rains in Los Angeles probably had something to do with it. So we'll proceed while we're waiting for everybody else to join the conversation. Headline news for Thursday, March 22, 2018. San Diego Democratic Senator Tony Atkins shattered glass ceilings and made history on Wednesday in the California Capitol building in Sacramento. State Senate Republicans and Democrats unanimously voted to hand Atkins the gavel of power as the first woman, as well as the first LGBTQI individual and the first person to lead both California's Senate and the Assembly lawmaking bodies since 1871. As the new Senate leader, Atkins pledged to change the culture of a state house riled by the Me Too movement and made a direct promise to change the culture of the state house when it comes to workplace behaviors. True culture change, holding ourselves to a higher standard, requires the active, everyday, enlightened participation of every person who works in and around this Capitol, said Atkins. She added, I pledge to you that that will be our mission and our mandate. Atkins insisted that everyone be treated with respect, noting that while they have their differences, we have more in common. And she noted that legislators will succeed or we will fail together. Democrats in Congress have reintroduced a bill to protect LGBTQI students from discrimination and harassment in public schools. They call it a necessary response to attempts by various school districts to refuse to acknowledge transgender students' gender identity. The bill, known as the Student Non-Discrimination Act, was introduced Wednesday by Congressman Jared Polis of Colorado and Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. It came just a day after Education Secretary Betty DeVos admitted to lawmakers in a House hearing that her department's Office for Civil Rights would not pursue discrimination complaints lodged by transgender students who are barred from facilities matching their gender identity. Under her leadership, the department has rescinded Obama-era guidance to schools that recommended they treat transgender students according to their gender identity. Last month, the department announced that it would be interpreting Title IX of the Education Amendments Act of 1972 as protecting only those students who are discriminated against or mistreated because of their biological sex at birth. Federal investigators today scoured the Texas home of the 23-year-old man they say was behind this month's deadly bombing spree in Austin, seeking clues about what motivated Mark Condit and whether or not anyone helped him build or plant the bomb. More details about the bomber's life have now come to light. Condit appeared to have had only a modest social media presence and left only a few clues about his motive online. In a post titled "Defending My Stance," written for a blog as part of a community college government class project in 2012, Condit gives his opinion against same-sex marriage. He was in favor of the death penalty, and he, quote, wanted to consider eliminating sex offender registries. On marriage equality, Condit wrote, "Homosexuality is not natural. Just look at the male and female bodies. They are obviously designed to couple." He also declared that homosexuality is not natural, arguing political protection of sexual practice is ludicrous. Condit also added that he did not believe it was proper to pass laws stating that homosexuals have rights. What about pedophilia or bestiality? Those are sexual practices. Should they be protected by law? In Illinois, confirmed neo-Nazi Arthur Jones has won the Republican nomination for one of the state's congressional seats. Jones is a Holocaust denier and a self-described former leader of the American Nazi Party. He won the nomination by running as the sole candidate in Tuesday's GOP primary for the 3rd Congressional District just outside of Chicago. The 70-year-old Jones will try to unseat incumbent Democratic Congressman Daniel Lipinski in the November election. Breaking news from the Associated Press, a teenage girl who was shot when a classmate opened fire inside their Maryland high school is brain dead and will be removed from life support, her mother told the press on Thursday. So, Karen?
Hi.
There we go. All right. Thank you, Brody,
there we
very
go.
Much. And I thank you, Brody. I apologize, everybody, for the technical difficulties we've had tonight. So we do have on live, and hopefully everybody will get to answer this time, Noah and Holly, welcome to our show.
Hi.
Hi,
nice to see you.
Thank you so much for joining us, and I really apologize for the technical issues we've had. I do want to say, just to give our leaders, our listeners, a little background, Noah is a 17-year-old high school junior, and he was suspended Wednesday after he called his rep, Mark Amadei's office, to complain to the administration about the lack of action on the gun violence and they had not acted on it. He made a passionate plea for members of Congress to, quote, get off their fucking asses, unquote, and take action on gun violence to keep students safe. Now, I'm a dad. I have two 15-year-old sons. I've been around for Columbine, for Sandy Hook, for the Pulse shootings, and now for Parkland and all the ones in between. And I do believe in speaking appropriately for situations. And I've always taught my sons to speak politely. So I am going to correct Noah on his language that he used with the congressman. I would have suggested that rather than he say what he did, he would say that they needed to get off their goddamn fucking asses and get something. So there you have it. So Noah, tell us what happened.
Well, I'll preface this with, I hope it's not too loud. I'm on a bus heading back from a debate tournament, so I'll preface it with that, and I'll get off the bus soon. But what happened was, I was participating in the national walkout this last Wednesday, or the previous one on March 14th, and all of my friends and I were making calls to our representatives, and of course, I mean, everyone was using colorful language, and I recognize that I could have used better language, but it's still my right to use whatever language I really want as long as it's not threatening. So that's just that's what got me in trouble.
Hi, this is Karen Oakham. I'm a reporter. I'm the news editor, actually, with the Los Angeles Blade. I'm really surprised that there was this kind of reaction. I mean, how has your school reacted to your suspension? I mean, it's just incongruous to me that you were suspended given what's happening in the country right now.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is it wasn't a school-sponsored event. We did this on our own. I was explicitly marked tardy. But my vice principal and the principal, they both said, quote, that it was embarrassing what I did. And then they suspended me. There was no bargaining. There was no real explaining myself. I mean, they knew what they were going to do. And so far, they haven't made a comment at all.
Oh, my heavens. I have a quick follow-up, if I may. I just actually have been taking note of, you know, the March for Our Lives that's coming up, and I wrote a column for the Desert Outlook comparing – I was a student protester against the war in Vietnam. So I feel what's happening now. You know, I've been there. But one of the things in the process of writing this column, I came across some statistics that I think might be interesting to kind of read into the record, if you will, to support what you were just saying. Thanks to the NRA, the National Rifle Association, and their publicity machine, Second Amendment mania is inculcated into the culture with deadly results. In the first 2 months of 2018, there were 2,341 gun deaths. That's the first 2 months. And then this is according to the Gun Violence Archive that gave a number of other instances of gun violence, including 36 mass shootings, and it came to a total of 8,791 gun incidents in the first 2 months of 2018. So you're being suspended.
That's absurd. That's crazy.
Exactly. So who's on the right side of history here? So I'm sorry, I went off on a little tangent, but those stats, like, really...
No, I totally understand. I actually went to a gun sort of panel. Well, I went to a couple of them this week, and one of them, a statistic was that there are 103 million gun owners in the United States, and only 5 million of them are in the NRA. You know, there's definitely a hole that the NRA has as a perceptual thing from the public that makes it look like they stand for all gun owners, and that's just really not the case, you know, especially with all that's been going on. There's a lot of people that want a lot of change, such as with bump stocks, background checks, raising the age limit, but the NRA has such a hold over, you know, perceptions and things like that, that it's very difficult, you know, to combat that.
Well, I think one of the things too, and Holly, I'm going to kind of direct this one at you. A couple of weeks ago, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin had met with some of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas kids from Parkland, Florida, on the Hill. And one of the first things that the senator noted in a conversation with me was the fact that one of the kids, Cameron, had come directly up to him without preamble, without salutation, greeting, good morning, nothing, or how you doing, Senator. And the first words out of Cameron's mouth were, have you taken money from the NRA? The one thing that I'm seeing throughout all of this coverage, Holly, is these kids are fearless. And it seems to me that it's incumbent upon us to let them continue to be fearless. So if you wouldn't mind, give me a little bit of background of how the ACLU of Nevada is now working with NOAA and, quite frankly, the other kids on this one.
Yeah, that's such an excellent point that you make. These kids really are fearless. You know, we feel the energy of it, and we've been behind kids throughout the country doing a major Know Your Rights campaign through all states. We issued some documentation on with Know Your Rights information that was Nevada specific. We disseminated it to a lot of schools through social media, and we also sent a letter to school districts all throughout the state of Nevada, essentially warning them and reminding them of the First Amendment rights that students enjoy when they're engaged in free speech rights, and what type of rights they're entitled to when they're engaged in speech on campus. So I think that we were definitely, you know, 100% behind the way that these kids are beginning this movement and wanting to support their free speech rights and wanting to empower them to make sure that they're effectively heard. Oh, looks like Noah's
like
leaving
that,
the bus.
Yeah, that sounds like that. We won't take that as our fault this time. Those technical difficulties. So, Holly, I'll ask you that situated there. What are the next steps in Noah's case that you can talk about?
Yeah, so we're essentially, we sent a letter after this occurred, you know, we decided to take this on and advocate for NOAA. We sent a letter, to the superintendent of the Washoe County School District, and now we're awaiting response. We also reached out to Congressman Amade's office and sent him a letter, too, reminding him about what the First Amendment says and asking him to issue an apology. But as you can see, the congressman is refusing to apologize. And just today, it actually broke in the Nevada Independent. The congressman said that he actually agrees with us. He agrees with us that NOAA was, you know, within his First Amendment rights when he made that phone call, but that he's still not going to apologize because his staff member had free speech rights as well. But, you know, the major difference here is that NOAA is still suspended. So, you know, extend, you know, some help. Like there are things that his office could do to help NOAA overturn this discipline on his record. So that's what we're calling on him to do. So the next steps, you know, we're waiting and working on that, seeing how Congressman Amade's office can intervene. And, you know, and we're looking to see what the full response is. You know, we've made some demands, overturn the suspension, let him take his position as secretary treasurer of the student body, and we're still waiting to hear back from them to see what that answer will be.
I would like to add on something to Holly really quick. I think Holly is definitely correct in the aspect of, you know, in how he doesn't want to apologize because he believes that his staffer had those freedom of speech rights. But I think that we should all ask, you know, does he call other people's employers that call, or does he just call kids, right, so he can sort of exploit them to show them that they shouldn't be participating in democracy if they don't agree with his agenda? You know, I just wanted to add that.
This is Karen. I think that's an excellent point. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I wanted to bring up to Holly is whether or not you think it's fair to really take a look at who this staff member is. I mean, one of the news stories says this Arturo Garzon, I think his name is, serves as one of the Nevada Republican Constituent Services Representative, number one. Number two, it also says that he used to work in the office of former Senator John Ensign. Now, for, you know, politicos like me, that's a familiar name. John Ensign was thinking about running for president in 2012 until he got caught having an affair with a campaign staffer, made illegal payments to keep the woman and her husband quiet, and then also had shady lobbying deals. Now, if Arturo, who has his free speech rights, but is so uppity about, you know, Noah's version of free speech, he was working in the office of a guy who did all of that. Where exactly does his morality lie? I mean, it seems like an incredible double standard, and it also seems like he was trying to, I mean, forgive me for getting on my high horse here, but, you know, given the context in which this man lives, I don't think it's a stretch to say that he was targeting Noah and trying to make an example out of him for political purposes.
I do think that definitely that Noah was targeted and definitely unfairly treated. As far as, you know, Arturo's background, I just won't comment on that. But I mean, I will comment on the fact that this is an experienced congressional staffer, and our leaders swear an oath to, you know, serve their constituents. And with that comes some sense of, you know, political privacy in those conversations that you're having when you are communicating with a congressional office. You know, so while, yes, you know, he does have free speech rights like the rest of us, there's also, you know, a decorum that a congressional staffer really should follow. And retaliating and contacting a school is not one of those things. It does not fall in that category. So definitely disappointing.
I would also tend to agree with that. And after the interactions I've had with the Parkland kids, because I've spoken to them, and the interactions that I've had with a lot of the staff on the Hill, I don't get that kind of impression that, you know, people should be doing anything in terms of a retaliatory against Noah. One of the things that I found in talking over the last month now with, you know, the kids at Parkland and the administrators at Marguerite Stoneman Douglas High School, as well as, you know, high schools and colleges elsewhere, is that their staffs have tended to be fairly supportive, although we've had some staffs that quite obviously have not. When you look at your particular high school, do you think that the faculty and staff in general was supportive of the spirit behind the walkout, or do you think that, you know, to them, they just saw that as teenage angst and rebellion and they were really unhappy about it?
Well, I mean, that's definitely a really good question. I mean, in my opinion, I just don't think that they saw it as much of an activist platform, or I don't think they saw it as important, because they did in fact suspend me for calling my representative, you know, so I don't think that they're very supportive of it. They probably viewed it as, like you said, you know, some sort of angst that we believe that we can change the world, and they probably don't believe that we can. So, I mean, I think that without a suspension, maybe, but because they suspended me, I definitely have to say that they probably didn't care as much as they might maybe claim to. But yeah.
No, I wanted to take you back to the shooting itself at Parkland when that happened. Where were you, and how did that strike you without knowing anybody else's reaction, just your first reaction to what had happened?
I just remember sort of waking up that morning and just, you know, of course everything is going good, and I look at my phone, and then I saw a notification or something happened maybe after school. I was taking a nap or something. I just remember somehow waking up and seeing it. And I just remember being just, I just thought that, you know, it's possible that this can happen at my school. And that's a scary thought. And it was just so sad to see all these wonderful lives, gone. And it just sort of made me realize that it's a bigger issue than I thought it was. 'Cause this is truly the one that hit me. And then, you know, the days following the Parkland, shooting, you know, students like Emma Gonzalez and other people, they got up, they made a national walkout, they protested the NRA. And it made me sort of realize through all of this that, you know, I can kind of be one of those kids, you know, to an extent. I can have my voice heard, and I want it to be heard. But I just remember feeling very, very sad. I mean, I remember crying about it. And then I just thought that I wanted to create change, you know.
I want to apologize to you as an adult. We owe you better. We really do. And you should not have to react that way. But I want to know when you got mad. Well, what point did you get mad?
Well, I remember I was going to participate in a protest, maybe a couple of nights before, the night before. And I was thinking, you know, like, this will be a good stance. I truly got mad when I made my sign, I think. I my sign said, "Dear NRA, there's blood on your hands." And sort of at that point, I kind of had to process what I wrote, you know. And after processing it, I watched the interview that the students had with Marco Rubio, and I just truly, like, realized how disgusting it was that the NRA plays such a big role, how people don't want to create change or create safe reforms. And I think that it was the night before the march I really got upset, because then I truly processed it all.
Noah, I'm wondering how your classmates have responded to the suspension. I mean, when we were talking about targeting, are they – I'm concerned that there might be a chilling effect, that if they too spoke up, that they might not speak up for fear that they would be targeted and that they would be suspended in some way, shape, or form, you know, not thinking that it was specifically because of your swearing, but that there was actually a larger issue at work here. I mean, what's been the response?
Yeah, you know, so I've had when it first occurred and I hadn't really contacted the ACLU, my friends were asking, you know, what's going on? We saw you go down to the office, and I told them why I got suspended. And I remember some of my friends were like, wow, you know, it really shows that protesting doesn't really help anyone except for hurts yourself. And, you know, when some of my friends told me that, I was like, no, you know, that's not how protesting works. But then it made me think, like, dang, you know, it's like nothing's being made, I'm getting suspended. But then I realized that, you know, I know my rights, and I do know that protesting does create change. So a lot of my friends have been incredibly supportive. They'll send me articles every now and then of new things that have been released, and they call me, you know, famous or whatever, but I don't really think of it that way. It's just more, it's to show kids, I guess, that they have their rights and that they have a voice that needs to be heard, you know, because adults are, no offense, not every adult, but the adults in Congress right now are failing us. They need to get up and, you know, create some change.
He's absolutely right. And I have to tell you that your peers at Parkland High School were seriously impressed with you, and they retweeted the hell out of the tweets that we were putting out for your story, because this is, in fact, a larger issue that is affecting everybody that goes to any school anywhere in this country, your generation and generations past it. And I think that it's time that, you know, your voice is there. Holly, let's talk about, you know, where do we go from here? I mean, obviously, and Karen brought up the chilling effect that this can have. And I realize we're talking, you know, about, quite frankly, a really red state part of Nevada, if you will. And we're talking about a congressional representative who is, in fact, a member of the Tea Party and more or less holds down very rigid pro-NRA, you know, talking points and things like that. And a lot of his constituents do the same thing. How do we keep this chilling effect from happening, and what does the ACLU envision in terms of, A, getting the school to reverse this decision, and, B, getting acknowledgement that these kids do have the right to say these things, F-bombs or not?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that last part is key. There needs to be – Noah needs to have his demands met, which are overturning that suspension. And at the school really showing that they understand that they have violated his fundamental freedoms. And that, you know, by generating that message in the media and making sure that people understand that and effectively advocating for Noah and making him whole again, that is one way that we can generate to the community that kids are entitled to free speech rights, certainly off campus. And this is an off campus communication. We're not even looking really at the, you know, Tinker versus Des Moines inquiry at this point, because the speech was not on campus. He had left school at that time. It wasn't a school sanctioned activity. It was a phone call. So really Noah had full free speech rights at that time to say whatever he wanted. So I think that's key to getting, you know, Congressman Amadei to understand and getting the school district to understand and the principal of McQueen High School.
Yeah, I would actually want to know what other kids in the school are being investigated for cuss words that they use outside of school as well, if that's the playing field they want to put it on. Because full disclosure, with my two 15-year-olds, they would be in trouble if that were the case. No, I want to ask you, I actually want your opinion on the solution to gun violence. It's been suggested by some that we arm more teachers in the school, and then there are other things on the table. What to you are the important initiatives that if Congress was to act, you would say, okay, now you're on the right track? Noah, did we lose you?
No, you didn't. Sorry. I kind of blocked out for a second. Do you mind repeating that?
No problem. I want to kind of go to your opinion on gun violence and what you would propose. And, I mean, you've obviously been thinking about it, and I want to hear your idea.
I mean, you know, I think arming teachers is a very silly idea, because I think the idea of it is you're preparing for the crime to be commit before instead of preparing to stop that crime from happening in the first place, right? I mean, the reality is I called the office and I said, you know, raising the age limit would be awesome, because 18-year-olds at my school probably shouldn't be having a gun. You know, banning bump stocks, which make guns shoot faster, is probably not, you know, it was probably a good idea to ban those. But I don't think, you know, solutions of having more student resource officers and having more teachers with guns is like not – that's just not the smartest idea, you know.
I want to follow up on this. I'm sort of very confused by and frankly upset by this whole notion that all of this started with you being off campus. Because why does the school have any right to say what you can and cannot do?
Right. I mean,
it was partially off campus.
It was partially because we were protesting, you know, at the school. But the problem with that is we were all explicitly marked tardy, and we weren't participating in a school event, right? So I wasn't part of the school day for that time. I wasn't really part of the school. It was a separate thing. And that I was marked tardy for. So it couldn't have distracted the educational atmosphere or anything like that. I mean, like I said earlier, the whole time they said it was just embarrassing for the school to get that call. So I think that's where a lot of their anger came from.
Well, yes, but at the same time, and maybe, Holly, you can interject here too. I mean, if you're off campus and say, I mean, substitute Noah for some guy who gets on the phone with the Congress member and is singing a rap song that is riddled with the N-word, and then screams at the Congress member about guns. Would the same thing have happened? I mean, any sort of free speech could be called out at the discretion. And by the way, was this tape recorded? I mean, he's saying that, you know, he had this visceral response and it was offensive and ergo the school should punish Noah. You know, I mean, what's next? What's off limits and who determines what's off limits?
Right. I mean, you know, to go back to the first question, they absolutely have no right to punish a student for any type of speech they engage in that takes place off campus, right? They don't. They don't have that right at all. The minute Noah left the school, the minute they put out the policy that they're marking the kids tardy, the school had separated itself from the activity that was going on, and they did so deliberately. So they can't go back and claim that this is now a school activity just because he was, you know, on the quad with everyone else. At that point, you know, it doesn't matter. Lots of kids make phone calls before they go into school and their personal phone calls, and there's no way that they can argue. Like, even if they could argue that this was on by him, like, physically standing in the grass or on the steps outside of the school, if they could argue that that was on campus, it's still – they have to prove a material and substantial disruption to school activities. I mean, at this point, we've already had 600 kids leave the school. They've already said that the punishment for that is going to be being marked tardy. So that's really it. That's where, you know, this entire inquiry ends. And I don't see any real true defense against that. So, you know, I think it's a pretty cut and dry situation here that Noah's rights have been violated by the fact that they suspended him. You know, he hasn't had like a pattern of bad behavior. He's a model student. You know, there's just really no justification about it for it at all whatsoever. And that is what we have put them on notice of and have given them the opportunity to rectify and to overturn the suspension and to clean Noah's record.
So have you reached out to other, you know, civil rights groups? I mean, there just seem like there might be a slew of groups that would join with you in condemning this, you know, again, for fear that this is a slippery slope kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, everything has happened so quickly. You know, we had this contact with Noah. Noah had a debate tournament. We worked on the letter over the weekend, and then, you know, we've been dealing with press. But so we haven't necessarily done outreach, but we have a ton of organizations locally that really support Noah. I think the vast majority of people that we have heard from, we're getting a lot of love mail, a lot of mail in support of Noah, and a lot of people, you know, calling from all around the country in support of him. There was a professor from, oh, goodness, was it Columbia, that had a tweet that went viral. And, you know, he issued a letter about how disturbing it was. And that's generated this really great social media response. So, I mean, I think that there are a lot of people outraged and behind Noah and willing to do something for him.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Well, I'll take responsibility for some of the viralness of the story, because after I communicated with the person who brought the story to me, and then I actually spoke to Noah on the phone, I immediately turned around and I fed it to my colleagues. And apparently my colleagues have the same opinion of the school administrators that I do, which is probably pretty unprintable at this point. Now, you made a point, Holly, about Noah standing As a student. This is also a young man besides being on the debate team. But Noah, you were just elected to a couple of offices in your student government, correct?
That is definitely true, yeah. Class secretary and class treasurer, and they completely stripped that away from me, saying that I was ineligible because of my suspension, which definitely affects colleges for sure. And it also, it really sucks for your representation at school, you know, especially like,
you know, with my campaigning and especially with telling people and things like that. So it's just kind of a, it is kind of a bummer, you know.
Well, so would you view this, and just, this sounds to me as though that was strictly retaliatory. I don't know, Holly, if you want to frame that one, but Noah, that really does seem a little bit like petty personified. You know, they suspended you. Okay, fine. But then to strip you of offices that you had won to, which, and I know from having, you know, two of my kids go through college, and Rob will be looking forward to that soon enough, that every little tick-tock on the sheet of, you know, extracurricular activities and school activities do count as far as these admission officers and registrars act. And so to,
oh, right,
to see
course.
That,
of course,
you know, doesn't look good. I mean, Holly, would that, you're the attorney here, is that not double jeopardy?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's so extreme. And just, you know, what I find interesting, I mean, when this all happened, you know, Steph, or Noah's debate coach was working with the school and, like, advocating for Noah to be able to go to his debate tournament. And the school ends up, you know, folding on that because that was going to be another part of the punishment. But they end up folding on that because they know that he is an exemplary debater. He took home second place in that competition. And so that really
congrats.
Uplifts the image of the school. Yes, congrats, Noah. You're amazing. That uplifts the image of the school and their ranking on debates across, you know, the debate team in national rankings. So, of course, they can, you know, use Noah for that, but he still, so he can't participate in this other extracurricular activity. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's also that, Holly. It's also the fact that, you know, I was suspended for one day. They let me compete, and then I was suspended the day after, right? So it leaves them kind of in a double bind. Like, either one, I was that big of a threat, and they shouldn't have let me go. Or two, clearly I'm not that big of a threat, and that means I shouldn't have been suspended in the first place, right? Because literally debate is using your words, right? So if they're so afraid of me using my words, why would they have why would they have let me compete? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. First, one thing I want to say, Noah, I think you are terrific, and do not let any of this slow you down. Your voice is important. What you're doing is important. And Holly is a superwoman, and I'm glad she's on your side, and I'm sure she will do magnificent things for you. But however it works out, my advice to you from my dad hat is keep on going, because what you have is
Thank
important.
You.
Your voice is important. Your strength is important, and the momentum that you give this is important. So, you know, you keep on. You're doing great. Holly, how can people who care about this help Noah's case? What can other people
Gosh.
Do?
You know, we're getting that question a lot. And, you know, any kind of press inquiries, folks that are looking to talk with Noah that want to know more about that, please route that through our office, you know, because we are representing him in the advocacy with the school district. So other ways to support him, you know, that great social media presence. I think people should continue to call Congressman Amade's office to, you know, encourage his office to call the school and, you know, ask the school to overturn his suspension. Whether, you know, I mean, they've already said that they agreed that he was, you know, exercising his constitutional rights. You know, why don't they extend a hand and help with Noah getting his suspension overturned when they know that it was inappropriate. So if we have people calling the congressman's office, that would be fantastic. And, you know, general words of support, I really think, are the way to go.
I have a bit of advice, too, and you may have already thought of this, but, no, my suggestion is that you start keeping a diary. And that you collect everything that has your name on it, because at some point, maybe, you know, between high school and college, you might want to write a book about all of this and, you know, call it The 17-Year-Old and the Constitution or something.
Right, you know, I mean, it's definitely something to And like it's huge, especially for things like college applications, right? I mean, not that I'm doing this for that, of course, but using it as something that shows that I fought for something that's right. And, you know, maybe you're right. Who knows? Maybe I'll keep a book or make it like something. I'm not sure. But it's definitely something to emphasize on. You know, it's definitely something big that I can definitely utilize. Especially, you know, after all the work that I've been putting through this and after all the statements I've made and everything. So it's something big and something to be proud of.
Well, and a diary. I mean, Oprah's been keeping a diary every day for how many years? I mean, the thing is about a diary or a journal is that you commit to taking like 10 minutes at the end of the day just to write about what happened during the day. That way, when you check news reports or you go back or you need to check your memory, you have a contemporaneous report from yourself about what happened that day and what you thought and the advancements, the disappointments, who helped, who didn't, you know, all those who you want to follow up on, phone numbers, email addresses, all that kind of stuff, and just get, you know, have it all in one place. And by the way, handwritten, so if your laptop goes down, you'll still have it, you know, in a
right.
notebook.
Right, of course.
Well,
it's something, you know, it's something to keep track of.
Yeah.
Well, today the Parkland kids ended up on the cover of Time magazine, and maybe if we're lucky, Noah, we will see your bright, smiling, shiny face there with the ACLU crew spread out behind you on Time as well. Noah, this is your chance. You have a national audience. What would you like to tell the adults? I mean, if you want to drop the F-bomb, Blog Talk Radio, have fun. But what do you want? What do you want us to? What do you want from us? What do you want to hear from us? What do you want us to do as adults? Go.
I think that, you know, I'm not going to blame every adult. I know that there are a ton of adults trying to fight for the correct thing, and. But what I will tell all of us adults is to continue that fight for those. And for those not, they have to recognize that they're part of the problem by not trying to fight. And they're part of the reason why people are getting such easy access to these weapons and killing kids in schools. So to all the adults out there, you know, they should continue fighting. They should learn and read more about the issue, get really well educated in it, and try to teach other people. And, you know, there's so much that as adults you can do. You can vote. You can call your representatives. You can protest. I mean, it's, you know, we're all in this together, and adults are, they're definitely integral. They're part of the solution.
You guys, we are almost out of time, and so I want to take this opportunity first to thank Holly for your advocacy for Noah and your work with the ACLU. You're our hero in my book, and I really appreciate everything you're doing. And I especially wanted to thank you for coming on tonight. Noah, young man, you are phenomenal. You're great. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And I really want to thank you. I have one last question for you. Are you going to be able to vote in the midterm elections? Will you be of age by that time?
I will be of age, and I will be voting in the midterm elections 100%.
Great. So if you can get that to go viral amongst your peers, that will do a lot. You guys are not only vocal and important, but you have numbers at your side. And if you guys all get out and vote, you will sway this like nobody's business, and they won't see it.
Change the world, yeah. Changing the world.
Yeah, so... And I want to thank you for what you've done. I want to thank you for standing up for yourself, and especially want you to thank you for coming on tonight. It is very, very appreciated. And I want to thank Karen and Brody for, as always, your expertise and your knowledge and your excellent journalistic abilities. And I want to thank our listeners, especially tonight with our technical difficulties. We will get those cleaned up for next week. But we will be back next week, this same time, Thursday evening, 7 p.m. time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Also listen to Out in Santa Cruz on KSCO.com. That is Saturday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. or 10 p.m. Eastern time. For the team here, I want to thank you, Rob Watson, and we will see you next week.
You've been listening to Rated LGBT Radio.